from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Honestly, it would be something I'm going to kind of look into now because Penn State's moving on. They're playing in Houston, so I'm not going to make the trek down to Texas, but if their game's on TV, I'll definitely make a point to watch it. But I had low expectations. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know if there would be, 100 people there, what the level of play would be. It was really, really competitive, really intense, and maybe in particular because it's Pitt, Penn State, or as you said, Pitt WVU, the prior game, the rivalry games, I would imagine pretty electric atmosphere for a lot of these because the intensity with the players was real. Guys were trying really hard. The fans were going at it. And the best part, I think, was the current Pitt team, almost in their entirety, was their front row courtside. They were getting into it with the Penn State guys, the Happy Valley Hoopers. So it was really good. There was a lot of trash talk, but going back and forth. And it came down to the wire, which was great as well. I go home happy in particular because I'm a Penn State guy.
Yeah.
But I think even the Pitt fans that went to that game, they would walk out saying if it's the first time they've ever been to a TBT game, it was absolutely something that they would do again. I think for, a pretty reasonable cost, I got my ticket third row in the what would normally be the zoo, the student section, $20. And I would say absolutely worth it. And I think if it comes back to Pittsburgh, I think this is the first time that they had a regional at the Pete. I would definitely be interested in going back again.
What was the crowd breakdown like? I mean, how many Penn Staters? I mean, there are more Penn State fans in Allegheny County than any other. So I'm sure you were not alone being the only Penn State guy.
No, I was in primarily a Pitt section, it turned out. So I had my Penn State shirt on, but I'm not very vocal when I go to games. So it wasn't like I was sparring with them necessarily. But there was a particular Penn State section. I saw the attendance figures. It was about 1,200. I actually would have guessed it was more than that. But I think Penn State people did represent pretty well because their game in the first round against Dubois had almost 1,000 people. So I think they showed up pretty well, but it was, certainly the side that I was on was very partisan towards Pitt. And if you follow Pitt basketball, there's, plenty of guys that you recognize their names, very recent players, and then some guys like Lamar Patterson, and even going back to Ryan Luther, guys that certainly made their name. So if you follow Pitt Athletics, Penn State Athletics, there's plenty of guys that would entice you to go to these games, pretty prominent players. Basically, everyone in this game is a pro-caliber player that's probably just shy of the highest level, not NBA guys. But pretty much everyone in this game was a pretty high-level pro that still has it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, the actual quality of basketball, because some of these players, as you mentioned, pretty recent grads on both sides, and then the others that maybe aren't so recent were still guys that were on the doorstep of the association where they played overseas somewhere. So the quality of hoops was still pretty top tier?
Yeah, I think so. And I will say that I would assume that a lot of these guys actually are better now than when you saw them collegiately. They've grown into their frame, probably gotten stronger, and some of these guys just maybe have a better understanding of how to play. Greg Elliott was, I think, a pretty solid player at Pitt, right? He played three minutes.
Very good three-point shooter.
Yeah, for him to only play 3 minutes kind of speaks to the fact that, they really rode their five starters pretty heavily. But that also is a testament to how good those guys are. If a very legitimate ACC player in Greg Elley was, you know, barely seeing the floor. So I know you guys talked actually about Sliva, the Shippensburg guy. He was impressive. The fact that he certainly looks like he belonged with a lot of, you know, Power Five players. I really thought it was pretty high level basketball, and it made me wonder. I would think that some of these teams, if they had a little bit more depth, because basically each team played six guys primarily, if they were a little bit deeper, I think that they could stack up with, you know, some of the better current college teams.
There you go. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. That sounded like a rousing endorsement of the TBT tournament. He checked it out last night at the Pete. Thank you, Sean.
If it comes back, Donnie, I'm taking you with me.
Oh, I would love that. I'm in. Count me in.
Perfect.
There we go. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, fellow fan producer. You guys hoop a little bit on the side. Sean texted me a few weekends ago. I had something going on, whether it was a wedding. Weddings galore. Weddings galore in our house. We got another one on Saturday. One of my friends from college is getting married. My guy Mitch, I am excited for that one. I forget what weekend it was, but Sean hit me up about playing hoops with some of the producers.
Two Saturdays ago, we all played, some of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that was actually the...
I think you were at a wedding, I want to say.
No, two weekends ago, that was Sarah and my second anniversary. So I also had to pick her up from the airport that night. She was at a bachelorette party, so related to a wedding, an off-branch activity to a wedding. But yeah, it was what, you, Sean,
yeah, myself,
Dom,
Sean, Dom, and Seth Davis. We went to Dormont, about like 5 minutes away from here, and played a little bit of 2v2 mixed and matched with the teams. It was pretty good.
Man, I'll tell you what, Joel, I was when I was at my parents', the community they live in, there is like a basketball court, almost like a half court type deal. It's only one hoop. I went over there. Sarah and I both went over there. Sarah actually played AAU basketball in her day. So she still had a pretty good shot. She still had a good stroke. Mine was ugly, man. I have not like played basketball or shot a basketball in years. And I used to have a pretty decent shot in like middle school and high school. I didn't play high school basketball or anything, but I could at least shoot the ball and not look ridiculous. It was ugly. It was ugly. I could honestly go like both left-handed and right-handed too. So maybe that threw me off.
Chris Muller would make 9 threes in a row, and you would miss 9 threes in a row.
Oh, I could miss 99 threes in a row if you wanted to tempt me with that good time. Yeah, I gotta.
So.
I'll have to get out there on the court at some point with you guys before summer is up. Fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's the Chevy Summer Drive, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Clear overnight, low of 59. Coming up, Joel and I will take a look at every team in the National Football League, and we'll find at least one interesting thing to say about all 32. That's coming up next. Jeff Hathorn joins us in about 20 minutes time. We'll also check in around Major League Baseball and see if the Pirates got any help tonight as they get set for a three-game series out in Arizona this weekend. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. There we go, Joel. Some football music to put you in the mood. Joel, I saw a tweet a little bit ago, and it almost brought a tear to my eye, brother. Thursday, July 25th, 2024, Joel, that is right now. That is the current time. This is the final Thursday without a football game until February.
We are almost.
We made it,
so
baby.
Back.
We made it. As of next Thursday. I almost said last Thursday. As of next Thursday. I'm too excited.
Caleb Williams.
Yes. I honestly.
Exhibition debut.
That honestly was flying so under the radar for me. I saw the post today on either Instagram or on Twitter. Like, oh, we're 1 week away from the Hall of Fame game. I'm
like,
oh.
Wow. Yeah. It's here. Wow.
Yeah. I'm buzzing for it. I'm happy for it. So something I wanted to do earlier this offseason, an idea that popped into my mind. I just thought it'd be kind of a fun segment to just go around the league, all 32 teams in the National Football League, and find at least one interesting thing about each team going into the season. It could be about current players they already have. It could be about players that departed. It could be about new players that came in. And this will just be a little back and forth that we can have, Joel. We'll start with the AFC East. We will start with the Buffalo Bills. This team has obvious interest. They have an MVP caliber quarterback. He has not won an MVP award. Maybe the folks at Pro Football Focus would like that to be the case. But for the last couple of years, he has been a perennial MVP candidate. Now, here's another interesting little quirk about the Bills. He lost his biggest target this offseason.
I was just going to say, that would have been my thing, is how are they going to, without Stephon Diggs, how are they going to go as far as they did other seasons?
And I might be biased here because I have James Cook on a Dynasty Fantasy team. I think James Cook is bound for a pretty big year.
I think so, too. He's going to have what should be his best seasons before, you know, running backs with the shorter careers and all that stuff. He's in his second season as a starter coming up, I think. So he should be in line for, you know, if all goes well, at least for sure, 1,000 yards.
Yeah, so the Bills, they will always have interest as long as they have Josh Allen in the fold. They will be a threat in the AFC. I do think they're a fringe playoff team because I'm not sold on how they will fix that issue of Stephon Diggs being traded to the Texans. The Miami Dolphins, I think in a kind of similar vein, the quarterback not as good as what Josh Allen is, but Tua has been somebody to put up huge numbers for the last few years. I mean, that offense in general is where I think a lot of the interest is at with the Miami Dolphins. Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, maybe the best wide receiver tandem in football. They're in the argument. There's a couple of other teams you could throw there. Maybe the Bengals when T. Higgins is on the field, as well as Ja'Marr Chase. You can think of the Eagles as well at this point with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Probably a couple of other teams I'm missing there. I wouldn't quite say that Van Jefferson and George Pickens are up there. They are closer to the bottom. But Tyreek Hill has put up video game numbers for the last few years. This team scored 70 points in a game last season, and their whole season came down to one game against the Bills, in which they lost. The New England Patriots, I think the clear interest is obviously with the rookie quarterback. When will he come into the fold? That player being Drake May, when will he eventually take over for Jacoby Brissett? But also, a clear and obvious answer here, Gerard Mayo, the first season as the head coach of the New England Patriots, the first time this century that Bill Belichick will not be on the sidelines for New England. It is truly a new era. It is a new head coach who is only 37 years old, a former player, a good one at that, for the Patriots. No more Bill Belichick. And a rookie quarterback soon to be in the fold with a former Patriot, now current Patriot quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. I don't have high hopes. I would not have high hopes if I was a Patriots fan for this team. But hey, there's at least some interesting things that you'll see develop here in 2024 with these guys. The New York Jets, they're in New York. That's an obvious one. They have Aaron Rodgers. That's another one. And we did not get to really see this team play out the way it was supposed to in 2023. Aaron Rodgers, who was on the NFL Top 100 list. I don't know if you saw that, Joel. Aaron Rodgers played 4 snaps last season. He completed the same amount of passes as I did. But that interest is obviously still there. The Jets also acquired Hassan Reddick. However, he has not reported to camp. He is looking for a new deal. The AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. Can they finally get over the top? And how could they possibly give him some help? They got maybe the best running back of this era. Derrick Henry is now a Raven. So they certainly loaded up on the ground. The receiving core with Zay Flowers looks to be a little bit better than what it was. Can the Ravens be better than what they were last season? The Bengals, Joe Burrow is returning. That is a pretty big headline. What will they do with their receivers? Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Those guys have been question marks due to their contract statuses. They also let Joe Mixon walk. He is now with the Houston Texans. But Joe Burrow is the huge headline for Cincinnati going into 2024. Can the Cleveland Browns finally finish ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers? I don't know. I don't really trust their quarterback. I think Deshaun Watson will continue to play at a very mediocre level in 2024, and I think he will again show that the Browns made one of the worst deals in league history. The Steelers, there is a ton of interest here from a league-wide standpoint, not just because that we are in this town. They had a crazier week of free agency than they ever have in their franchise's history. They completely rehauled the quarterback position. Kenny Pickett out. Mitch Trubisky out. Mason Rudolph out. Who comes in? Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champion. Justin Fields, extremely high ceiling, but has not proven himself. They also went out and acquired Patrick Queen from a division rival, the Baltimore Ravens. They traded Deontay Johnson. They now have a pretty big hole at wide receiver, too. We'll see how they can fix that. They've been in trade rumors around the league basically since the offseason began. The AFC South, the Houston Texans, they are going to be one of the hottest picks to win the AFC this year. I could almost guarantee it. And C.J. Stroud will be one of the hottest tickets to win the league MVP this year, especially with new addition Stephon Diggs. How does the sophomore season go for Houston with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans? We will see. The Indianapolis Colts, a team on the doorstep of the playoffs last season. Anthony Richardson is back. I see him as a player that will never play more than 10 to 12 games per year. Maybe he proves me wrong, but he brings a pretty obvious interest. Jacksonville, Doug Peterson. Can they figure it out? Can they figure it out with Trevor Lawrence? Not that he's been bad, but he has not been as good as what we thought. He was supposed to be the second coming at that position for Jacksonville. They blew a shot at the playoffs last season, and it was an utter disaster. They lost almost every game down the stretch, almost every game in the last month, and it knocked them right out. And the Steelers are a team that benefited from that. Tennessee, new coach Brian Callahan. Do they have their franchise guy in Will Levis? We'll see. Derrick Henry no longer in town. So it could be a bit of growing pains for the Titans in 2024, but there's at least something there with a new coach. How will the Denver Broncos, as we enter the AFC West, how will they rebound from the departure of Russell Wilson? They drafted a quarterback in the first round, Bo Nix. Can Sean Payton really be the quarterback whisperer at Mile High in 2024? Kansas City, they're going to go for a three-peat. We have not seen that. And Patrick Mahomes is the reason behind it. Last year, we thought the Chiefs finally getting knocked off their perch. Not so fast. They won multiple road playoff games, and they are still the top dogs until proven otherwise. The Las Vegas Raiders, they're not a super interesting team, let's be honest. But they did officially hire a new coach, Antonio Pierce, who took over in the offseason. He was named their head coach going into this season, a former good player in the league, and now he takes over. Let's see if the Raiders can turn things into a positive direction. The Chargers, theirs is pretty obvious as well. They have the quarterback, Justin Herbert. They don't really have any receivers. but they maybe made the biggest coach hire of the offseason. Jim Harbaugh goes from winning a national championship at Michigan to joining the Los Angeles Chargers. I think a lot of people already penciling them in as one of the playoff teams in the AFC. NFC, we'll try to run through this quickly. Dallas Cowboys, can they win a big game? Can they win a playoff game? They were fantastic last year. They got bullied by the Packers in the wild card round, the first 7-2 seed, in fact, in playoff history and NFL history, given that 7 seed has not been around for a while. Also, they got three guys they got to pay. They don't know what the hell to do. Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, they're in flux with all three of those guys. The New York Giants, the reason why I started to have this thought was because I thought the Giants may be the most uninteresting team in the league. And then the new Hard Knocks came out, the off-season Hard Knocks. That at least gave me something. The amount of faith that this organization has and also doesn't always have in their quarterback, who they paid big money to, Daniel Jones, is quite interesting to me. They also drafted one of the most highly touted receivers in the draft, Malik Nabers, in the top 10. But if you've watched any of that Hard Knocks, you'll see they half the room seems to have faith in Daniel Jones. The other half, they were about ready to draft a quarterback in the first round in April. The Philadelphia Eagles, they acquired the running back of their division rival, the New York Giants. The departure of Saquon Barkley from New York to Philadelphia. Can the Eagles bring the run game back to the top of the National Football League? Jalen Hurts needs a bounce back season as well. They've also lost future Hall of Famer Jason Kelce to retirement. Fletcher Cox retired as well. The Commanders, this one's easy. New head coach, Dan Quinn. New quarterback, Jaden Daniels. I think that speaks for itself. The Chicago Bears, they will be on Hard Knocks in a few weeks. They will also be in the Hall of Fame game in 1 week. And they drafted Caleb Williams first overall. They traded Justin Fields, so they put their chips into the basket of the rookie from USC, who some people, intern Dom, think is already a top five quarterback in the game. The Detroit Lions, can they get over the hump? They got to the NFC Championship game last year. They were the darlings of everybody around the league. Basically, if you were a fan of a team outside of the NFC North and your team was already out, you were rooting for the Detroit Lions. Can Dan Campbell get the boys back to that point? The Green Bay Packers have one of the youngest offenses in football, and I think they have somehow gone 3 for their last 3 when it comes to franchise quarterbacks. They have gone from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and now Jordan Love. He really showed me something late last season. Jordan Love going to be an exciting player to watch in 2024. Minnesota Vikings, they drafted a young quarterback. I don't know if he will start right away. I don't know if he will start at all this season. They lost Kirk Cousins in free agency. We'll get to that new team in a moment. They drafted J.J. McCarthy. The Atlanta Falcons are that team that signed Kirk Cousins. They also have a new coach, Raheem Morris. So a new combo there in Atlanta. Can that get the Falcons to the top of the NFC South, which consistently has been the worst division in football? There's also a new coach in Carolina, Dave Canales. And can second-year quarterback Bryce Young break through a little bit? He also has a new target, Deontay Johnson, who people around here are very familiar with. Another pretty uninteresting team, the New Orleans Saints. Now, Joel was just down there last week. He was on Bourbon Street. They don't have Drew Brees anymore. They are kind of a boring team. Kind of a team right there in the middle. They have Derek Carr. I don't know how much people love Derek Carr anymore. Tampa Bay, Todd Bowles, Baker Mayfield. This team shocked a lot of people last year. I think the projection on Tampa Bay was like 5 or 6 wins. They went to the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They almost won another in Detroit. There could be reason to see them possibly repeat in 2024. We'll see their battles against New Orleans, and we'll see if either, or I'm sorry, their battles with Atlanta, maybe New Orleans or Carolina, can show some life. Arizona. Kyler Murray is still there. However, they did draft maybe the best wide receiver prospect in the last, 20 years. Marvin Harrison Jr. That guy is reason alone to have eyeballs on the Arizona Cardinals in 2024. The Rams, Sean McVay is still there. Matt Stafford is still there. People believe that the Rams can really make some noise in the NFC West. Can they even win that division? Because San Francisco, the team that has run that division for quite some time now, they have some issues. They have some trouble in paradise. Trent Williams comes to mind. Brandon Ayuk comes to mind. They have some issues with some key players. Can they keep all of those guys happy and on the field? And the Seattle Seahawks, another team with a new coach. They went out and got one of the youngest coaches in all of football, Mike McDonald, who was the defensive mastermind last season for John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. So he will be replacing the NFL's oldest coach as of last year, Pete Carroll, as a new era begins in Seattle. Kind of had to rattle those ones off fast because Jeff Hathorn is coming up next. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jeff Hathorn, sports director, 93.7thefan.com, joins us in a few moments. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Malzy's going to be happy with this one, Joel. Are you aware that this is one of his favorite bands?
It's a really good one too, yeah. Donnie. It's also from a Madden soundtrack.
I think Guitar Hero too, I want to say.
I wouldn't be shocked.
It would make sense. It would make sense. Donnie, football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Until 10:35 tonight, Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. If you love or hate the music choices, blame him. Last night it was Dad Rock Wednesday with myself and Charlie Borges. We had a very good time. Music pretty similar tonight, a little bit more on the alternative side than necessarily dad rock, but sometimes those can commingle, and that's all right. Right now, we go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find the great Jeff Hathorn, sports director, 93.7thefan.com. Jeff, another year out in Latrobe at St. Vincent College. How is it in 2024 with a new-look Steelers roster?
Yeah, it's interesting. The morning practices are unusual. It's taken a little time to get used to from our standpoint. I think from the players, too, and I think from the fans. I mean, there were fans there, but not as much as some first days. And I don't think that means the excitement isn't there. I think part of it might be because of the Pirates, and I think, you know, that time, like before, if it's, especially when it was at 2:55, you work a half day, you take the family and go. This is a little bit different, I think. I think people are adjusting to that time, but I know everyone that I, all of my colleagues are going to hate me for saying this. I like camp. I think it's cool. And I think the biggest thing for me, I could tell you exactly what happened on that practice field without having to worry about facing some kind of fine or credential revoke.
Jeff, in true Mark Caballi fashion, when he joined us last hour, he raved about the earlier time because it was not as hot at 10:30 in the morning as it was later on. So he, as always, it never fails. Every single year, the annual weather report from Kaboom on how the temperature was at 10:30 this morning.
Well, he is factually accurate. He is. And I guess it's just that, you know, the change that's so different for so many of us that have gone up there for so many, you know, for multiple years to have it all happen there. I get some of the logic of what they're saying. It's just different and things change. I'm just glad that they're still going out there.
Now, Mark also said it was more of the advice of the strength and conditioning squad than necessarily Mike Tomlin alone making the decision to move practice time during the week to 10:30.
Yeah, and their warm-ups are like, I mean, some of the stretches are still the same, but it looks completely different. I mean, the way they go about their warming up and getting ready, I always remember like for years, like Ben Roethlisberger, everybody'd be stretching and he'd be throwing the ball with, you know, one of the equipment guys.
Oh yeah, that always got a real kick out of me. Like he the way that he would stretch once he was already a well-established player, that would earn you like a mile around the field if you were a high school player.
Yeah, I don't know if that would happen today. It's regimented, it's new. You know, some of the players wanted new. That's why they got rid of Marcel. And yes, you're right. The advantage of having the early practice is not only not dealing with the heat, but also I think they worried that they didn't, you know, refuel themselves properly. You know, they would come off of practice and head straight to dinner and maybe they weren't as hungry. And then, okay, now it's 9 o'clock and I want to throw some food back. Well, sadly, that's not the optimum time to eat. If it was, I mean, I would be in the greatest shape ever. Because I feel like I'm getting home so many times at 9 or 10 o'clock, and I'm hungry as hell. And they were trying to get rid of some of that. Plus, you know, what Tomlin described yesterday was, listen, by the time we get into the film room, we don't have time to thoroughly digest the film and be able to provide an accurate account of today's workout by the time they would meet at 7 o'clock. So now they're able to go through it, have a night meeting, where they've already broken down practice. I get some of that logic, but I wonder, well, then why is it back to the way it was on the weekends? Like, that's kind of weird.
What's your read so far on Cam Hayward and his current situation?
It's going to happen. I mean, you just had to listen to Omar today. It's going to happen. I don't know how it's – I think the structure of it is what's the delay, but I do think it's going to happen. I think the Steelers would prefer to have an out. Still give him most of his money, but they want an out because, you know, if Cam's dealing with other injuries or he's just not as effective, kind of like we saw Cam Jordan last year, they want an out. Maybe not after the first year, but after the second, if the production isn't there. And I think they're just working through some of this. I do expect that to happen.
Do you have any idea what the figures could be?
I think you'll see a big number up front, which may use some of the cap room they have this year, depending on how things fall out. And then, you know, again, depending on what they can negotiate, I would say in 16, 16's a really nice number that he's at right now. He's not going to want, you know, something that's less. That I would say something around that number. It's just how are they going to figure that out? You know how these guys are, Donnie. They want to save face a little. Like, he doesn't want to then take 12 in his last 2 years. So it's how they try to figure that out, up front a bunch of money, turn it into some kind of signing bonus, and save themselves for cap in the future.
What about Pat Freiermuth? How do you feel about that one getting done?
I tell you what, I mean, there was no doubt today that he was their number two receiver. None.
Mark said the same thing.
Yeah, he got so many passes today. He made one really nice catch off a Kyle Allen throw, a really nice high throw that he was able to come down with, get his feet inbounds. I'm not saying they're trying him out like, okay, let's see when we give him more options how he looks. I think they have a pretty good idea of what Pat Freiermuth is. I don't think he is high end. I think it's double digits, but I think it's probably 10, 11, maybe 12. I don't see it being higher than that because, I mean, Freiermuth, whether it's his fault or not, he just hasn't put up those kind of numbers or shown that kind of burst with the exception of that one game against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about it to start the show tonight. I thought kind of in that range of what Cole Kmet, Dalton Schultz, Noah Fant makes. So Fant makes about 10.5, and Kmet makes 12.5. I thought somewhere in that range, maybe 10.
I think that's a good call.
10 to 13.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And, you know, Freiermuth has such a poker face, and that he's learned to just say, I let my agent handle that stuff. You know, again, no player wants to be embarrassed with an offer, but I don't see him as one that's going to fight over $500,000 or someone that has to get paid in the neighborhood of the elite tight ends. That being said, I can almost guarantee you he wants something in double figures a year.
Jeff, what do you think the solution will be at nickel corner with the suspension of Cam Sutton? And I mean, are we going to be looking at an undrafted rookie starting week one, Beanie Bishop?
I think you're going to see tweets over the next few days where maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 different guys are playing the slot. I think it's an audition right now. I mean, we saw Elliott play it a little bit. In fact, right off the gun, it was Elliott was the first one who got those reps. Then Bishop got a quick early rep with some of the big guys and went back. I mean, I think they're just going to try. I would love to say that how do I find a way to get Corey Trice on the field? But I mean, he hadn't played. He played a little bit in camp, and they've worked him exclusively on the outside during OTAs and minicamp. So how do you then throw him as he's still trying to figure things out? He went through a whole offseason so far playing the outside. How do you work him inside? I don't see that. You know, they've got a couple of veteran guys that they – one from the Texans that they brought over has played some games. Unless something has happened very recently, everybody says Patrick Peterson. I do think that is an option. I didn't think Chandon Sullivan played horrible. I mean, maybe they kind of see what they've got now, and Sullivan could be a fix until they – you know, maybe even only for 8 games. But I think, you know, he can fit right in. He knows the guys, and I think that would be an option.
Talking to Jeff Hathorn, sports director, 93.7thefan.com here on 93.7 The Fan. Jeff, was the biggest overreaction to day one the viral video of Justin Fields hitting Van Jefferson for the long score?
That or someone, you know, tweeted out one of him bouncing a pass to George Pickens. Inconsistent. I mean, he even said it, you know, when we asked him about how he thought he did, it was, you know, it was all right. And I think he used that word like three or four times. That was a great pass. First day at camp, I'm not going to get too excited about it. I will say this. He looked comfortable as the one. I know he's been a starter before, but he's around new guys. He's with the new coordinator. There wasn't any pre-snap. There wasn't any not getting, you know, the calls in. There was nothing offensively that led you to believe, like, man, this guy doesn't have a feel for his teammates. And they like him. Like, he is genuinely liked by the group. He's quickly been able to kind of joke around, and that's just going to build even more here over the next couple of weeks. It's so tantalizing. I can imagine what Bears fans feel because you see some things and it's like, oh man, look at this guy. And then you see some things, it's like, oh, I want to see it more when it's live, when there's, and it's never live on the quarterback. Let me rephrase.
Right.
When it's full pads and he's got to make some quicker decisions, because I think that's something that's hurt him in his career. It probably at Ohio State, he had time and guys were going to get open. And he threw some great passes, but he had time. And I think that hurt him with Chicago. And here's the rub. Okay, do you allow him to extend a play because his feet are so good, or do you need him to make quicker decisions? I think that's something that Arthur Smith is working with Justin Fields on and probably will be however long he's with the Steelers.
Jeff, you mentioned George Pickens there. Anything with that spat that he allegedly had with wide receiver coach Zach Azzani?
And I'll be honest, I missed it. I was over in another part of the practice, but Ray was telling me about it, Fittipaldo. And I'm not surprised. Azzani has been vocal. He reminds me of a college coach in that he's been no nonsense and, you know, he wants every drill to be perfect. As much as you would say, well, George just has to fall in line, it's not the way it works. Like, there's going to have to be something, something give, a conversation happen there. And Azani's got to make sure that Tomlin's got his back. You know, those are some of the things I think that Najee Harris was alluding to in some of the in-house rules. Like, if guys have different rules, I think you can have it slightly different for guys that are star players, because, you know, even the best coaches, there were maybe, except for Belichick, even the really good coaches had different rules for different guys or treated different guys different ways. And while you want to allow George a little freedom, I don't mind that, especially early in camp, that let's test this guy. Let's see how hard I can work him. And then we can work out things here over the next few weeks.
Should people be concerned with Dan Moore Jr. yet again being with the ones, or Nate Herbig with the first team? I do know that it's just typical Steelers that they're not going to have a rookie out there with the first team, but I'm just hoping that once we get closer to the year, it's still not that case.
Well, I think they should read into typical Steelers right now. Let's see what happens as you get close and after the first preseason game, because they'll do things in practice that you won't truly get a read on what happens when those guys get in games and what they do against other guys. Now, Faltano might take a little time. It took Broderick Jones a little time to kind of get ready for the NFL level. Not, they could have thrown him out there, but I think they made the right call on Jones last year to give him a little bit more time. Let's see how Faltano works. I think the really interesting piece of this is, unlike Chooks, for instance, Dan Moore is in a swing. And I don't think they could trust him on the right side. So how do you work that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Broderick a swing? And I don't think that. You know, those two guys are going to be your starting tackles. But if you don't if you replace Moore, does he dress? Like, that? It's kind of complicated. I think Moore is going to continue to get first-team reps, and as Faltano gets more experience, I don't think they're afraid to start him. But I think you're going to see more of Dan Moore and more of people probably freaking out.
Jeff, are you aware that our guy Joel Nelson has already been to 40 of the 50 United States state capitals?
No. That's amazing.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier because he was on vacation, last week or 2 weeks ago. And he said, yeah, my family and I, we like to go and visit different state capitals when we get the chance to. And I asked him, just thinking, oh, you know, maybe they've knocked out like 20 or maybe half. They're already 80% of the way there.
Wow. Has he done the Honolulu, Juneau, the far ones?
Not yet, Jeff. Those might end up being the last ones, but
okay.
Hope to get them done at some point.
That's pretty awesome. And by the way, Donnie, I want to mention, because he's taken some grief and the trade was so negatively received, Dante Jackson was good today. Day one opportunity, but he made a play on a fade that Fields threw this perfect pass to Pickens, and Pickens was starting to come down with it, and Jackson punched that ball out perfectly. I mean, he was all over him, but there was no foul, there was no penalty. He was right with him. There was another play where he had a pass breakup against George. I thought, for one practice, if there's one guy you want to look at that might have surprised you, Dante Jackson looked good. We'll see how the rest of it plays out, but good for him, man. He had a good first day.
Yeah, that's positive to hear, because I know that in that clip that has gone viral, he slipped on the play, and that's why it was such an easy connection between Fields and Van Jefferson. Jackson is somebody I've been skeptical of all offseason, because I thought the Steelers made a hole and didn't really fill a hole at the same time with that trade of Johnson for Jackson.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's not like they had a number two receiver waiting and you traded from surplus, almost like, you know, to cross-pollinate here. Like, if you traded one of the Pirates starters, obviously not Skeens or Keller, but let's say you trade Ortiz, you've got other starters you feel like that can step in and pitch at the major league level. They didn't have a guy like that it seems like they're just throwing bodies at it. And I still think that's a concern for this team.
Jeff Hathorn, check his stuff out. Sports director, 93.7thefan.com. Jeff, anything big on the site after day one of camp?
No, I think, you know, some of the stuff about, you know, what Russell Wilson not practicing today, what Justin Fields said about his opportunity, and also what Cam Hayward said about his contract. That's all up there. In the morning, we'll have a little rundown on what the general manager said beyond what he said about Cam's contract. So, and there's just so much going on. It's trying to, which ones do you try to fit in? Because what's so cool is the Pirates matter too. So this is awesome.
Jeff, have fun out there. Thanks for taking the time tonight.
Thanks, Donnie.
There we go. One of the great guys in the business, Jeff Hathorn, from 93.7thefan.com. Joel, we're going to do a Starkey special here. We're just going to make this a two-segment hour, brother. And when we come back, you will hear, if you have not heard it yet today, Omar Khan talked to the Steelers media following the first practice at training camp in 2024. We will get to that coming up next. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Also coming up, we're going to go into a little bit of Pitt football talk in that 9 o'clock hour. Pat Narduzzi, yet again, talking about Penn State earlier this week at ACC Media Day. And maybe, just maybe, we have a Pitt football win-loss game in our future. And it's been nearly a month since Joel and I worked together. We have Joel's pick coming up in the 10 o'clock hour before we finish things up tonight. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's the Chevy Summer Drive, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Mostly clear overnight. low of 59. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.